Meta has spent upwards of $50 billion developing the metaverse. But will it pay off? Go inside the company in a new three-part series, From Facebook to Meta, Zuckerberg's Big Bet, in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal.
To deter an invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. has threatened Russia with sanctions. But Congress is divided over how far to go.
Even though Republicans and Democrats agree they want very strong sanctions and they want to pass something in Congress to send this message to Putin that they're unified in responding to his threat to invade Ukraine, you know, they can't seem to actually get on the same page.
Plus, an historic settlement between gunmaker Remington and Sandy Hook families. And why MBA programs are teaching happiness. It's Tuesday, February 15th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. President Biden says the United States has not verified that Russia has withdrawn some troops from the Ukrainian border. Speaking at the White House today, Biden said an invasion remains distinctly possible, but he called for continued diplomacy to resolve the standoff.
Two paths are still open. For the sake of historic responsibility, Russia and the United States share for global stability, for the sake of our common future, to choose diplomacy. But let there be no doubt. If Russia commits this breach by invading Ukraine, responsible nations around the world will not hesitate to respond. We do not stand for freedom. Where it is at risk today will surely pay a steeper price tomorrow.
Biden said the U.S. was prepared to levy sanctions against Russia, but he reiterated that he would not be sending U.S. service members to fight in Ukraine in the event of a Russian invasion. We'll have more on potential sanctions against Russia later in the show. The gunmaker Remington Arms has agreed to pay $73 million to nine families who lost loved ones in the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting. The agreement will settle claims that the company's marketing practices were partly responsible for the shooting, which left 20 children and six staff members dead. Our reporter Zusha Ellenson says it's an historic settlement.
So in 2005, there's a law passed that limited gunmakers' liability in cases where their weapons were used in violence or crimes. And since that time, according to professors we've interviewed, there has not been any settlement paid by manufacturers to victims of gun violence. What happened in this case is the lawyers for the parents who lost children in Sandy Hook and relatives of teachers, they made the argument that this case fell with one of the exceptions to that federal law, and that exception was if a company is engaged in sort of nefarious marketing practices, then they can be held liable. And they used a Connecticut state law concerning marketing and the selling of products to push that argument in the state courts.
Joshua Koskoff, an attorney representing the families of Sandy Hook, held a press conference earlier today.
This case was never about damages in the sense of compensation. It was about damages in the sense of forcing change.
Attorneys representing Remington did not respond to a request for comment. The company filed for bankruptcy protection last year and was broken up. Zusha says the settlement could mean more cases against gun manufacturers.
From a legal perspective, it's a pretty narrow path for plaintiffs. But this is definitely going to open up the floodgates. You're going to see a lot more lawsuits against gun manufacturers for sure. And from what we're hearing, gun makers have already started changing their marketing in anticipation of this. What's not going to happen, it's not going to change the types of guns that gun makers sell, but it will change the marketing.
Senate Republicans have blocked a key vote on President Biden's nominees to the Federal Reserve over a disagreement on one of the nominees, Sarah Bloom Raskin. Republicans have raised questions over a business arrangement Raskin struck after she left the Obama administration in 2017, when she was on the board of a Colorado payments firm, Reserve Trust. Some lawmakers have questioned Raskin about whether she used her personal contacts from the government to help the firm. Raskin has said she followed all ethical requirements. Republicans' refusal to show up for today's vote delays confirmation of all five of the president's nominees to the board, including Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The Labor Department says U.S. producer prices rose 1% in January from the prior month. Economists say the jump reflects supply chain disruptions due to the Omicron variant and strong consumer demand. They say the latest figures also reinforce the case for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates at its March policy meeting. We report exclusively that the Securities and Exchange Commission has launched a probe into the U.S. arm of Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, and two trading firms, which act as market makers and trade cryptocurrencies on the Binance.us exchange. Market makers are important actors because they help smooth price fluctuations by continually buying and selling, even when markets are choppy. Corporate documents from 2019 tie Binance's founder and CEO to the two trading firms, and former executives say that as of late last year, he controlled them both. People familiar with the SEC probe say the regulators are looking at how the U.S. branch disclosed its links to the firms to customers. A spokesman for Binance U.S. declined to comment on the SEC probe and any relationship with the two trading firms. A spokesman for Binance said that as a private company, it doesn't need to disclose details of its investor or corporate structure, but will share with regulators upon request. Coming up, why legislation to sanction Russia is stalled on Capitol Hill.
Meta has spent upwards of $50 billion developing the metaverse. But will it pay off for the company, its investors, and for CEO Mark Zuckerberg?
Over time, I hope that we are seen as a metaverse company. And I want to anchor our work and our identity on what we are building towards.
Meta's trillion-dollar business and how we use the internet could hang in the balance. Go inside the company in a new three-part series, From Facebook to Meta, Zuckerberg's Big Bet, in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal.
U.S. officials have been warning that a Russian invasion of Ukraine is imminent. Speaking at the White House today, President Biden said the U.S. and its allies are ready to impose exports controls, including measures that were not put in place after Russia invaded Crimea in 2014.
We'll put intense pressure on their largest and most significant financial institutions and key industries. These measures are ready to go as soon and if Russia moves. Will impose long-term consequences, will undermine Russia's ability to compete economically and strategically. And when it comes to Nord Stream 2, the pipeline that would bring natural gas from Russia to Germany, if Russia further invades Ukraine, it will not happen.
But Congress has been split on how and when to issue sanctions. So, will lawmakers be able to reach an agreement? And what impact could sanctions have? Joining me now is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Lindsay Wise. Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Lindsay, President Biden said today that if Russia invades Ukraine, Nord Stream 2 will not happen. That's the controversial natural gas pipeline that would link Russia and Germany bypassing Ukraine. Can you tell us a bit more about where the project stands now and how lawmakers have been thinking about potentially targeting the project with sanctions?
So senators from both parties agree that they want sanctions on Nord Stream 2 pipeline that connects Russia and Germany. And I think that the problem is they can't agree on how they would do this. Essentially, the Democrats, led by Senator Bob Menendez, who is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, would like to impose what he has called the mother of all sanctions, which is not just Nord Stream, but sanctions on Putin and his allies and, you know, Russian banks and Russian sovereign debt and all these other sanctions as well on top of the Nord Stream sanctions. But he wants them contingent on Russia invading Ukraine, whereas Republicans have said they would like to see the sanctions imposed pretty much almost immediately, preemptive sanctions that, you know, would show Russia how serious the U.S. and Europe are taking this threat. So they basically can't seem to come to an agreement on how to proceed, you know, even though Republicans and Democrats agree they want very strong sanctions and they want to pass something in Congress to send this message to Putin that they're unified in responding to his threat to invade Ukraine. You know, they can't seem to actually get on the same page. Marco Rubio told us yesterday, you know, we're in the same page, just not the same paragraph. So that's, I guess, where things are in Congress, where even when lawmakers agree, they can't seem to agree.
And what about in terms of some of those other measures you mentioned, targeting Russian banks and exports with sanctions? Where do those efforts stand right now?
You know, it's not really clear because we haven't seen text since they haven't come to an agreement. We haven't seen what this legislation might ultimately look like. There's been some discussion as well of secondary sanctions, and that would be, you know, possibly looking at how to keep Russia from being able to evade sanctions by looking at sanctioning banks that work with the entities, the Russian banks that have been sanctioned. But that does raise some concerns for some lawmakers. There's generally, you know, a lot of delicacy here because the lawmakers want to be careful not to hurt European allies or European countries through the sanction process and hurt their economy. So I think that it'll be very interesting to see how they put together these sanctions in such a way that, you know, keeps the European allies on board and gets their cooperation. But this will be a difficult situation. You know, these sorts of serious sanctions would be a very big deal for our European allies.
As lawmakers are wrangling over these different potential measures, what authority does President Biden have to take action outside of Congress to target Russia?
So lawmakers have said that they've already given the president pretty wide-ranging authorities to impose sanctions on Russian entities. Moscow annexed the Crimean Peninsula in 2014 and backed some separatist fighters in eastern Ukraine. So some Russian companies and people connected with Putin have already been targeted by the U.S. So Republicans and Democrats seem to agree the president does have pretty wide-ranging authority to impose very serious sanctions. President Biden has said that would happen, including Nord Stream. He has basically said they would shut down Nord Stream if Russia reinvaded the Ukraine. So I think that there is an expectation that if Russia follows through on this, there will be very serious sanctions. But Congress had wanted to move a package that, you know, would show that U.S. lawmakers were behind this effort and unified. And I think the problem has been they can't seem to overcome some of the partisan divide here on this issue.
What message is that sending, the fact that lawmakers can't come to an agreement on something like this as U.S. officials are warning that a Russian invasion is imminent?
I asked lawmakers that question yesterday, and, you know, some of them were basically saying, look, you know, Russia's so close to moving that even if the Senate passed a bill this week and they managed to come to terms with each other as Democrats and Republicans in the Senate, you know, by the time it was able to pass the House and be signed into law, who knows? I mean, the invasion could already have happened. So the House is out this week. So that makes any kind of, you know, final passage of a sanctions bill even less likely this week. So I think that there's a sense maybe it's too late to act, but that there's still these disagreements over substance. There was some talk last week of possibly bringing like a Democratic favored bill and a Republican favored bill to the floor, but that seems to have faded. My impression is that lawmakers feel that it would be even worse to bring bills to the floor that didn't pass or that accentuated these divides than not to vote on something at all. So that's kind of where we are, but we are waiting to hear how Republicans responded to Senator Menendez's counteroffer. It was interesting, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has basically said last week that he thinks it's not necessary to pass a sanctions bill. You know, the president has a lot of authority already, and, you know, he and other lawmakers I talked to yesterday said they didn't think Putin will be deterred by any legislation, and that Putin is not necessarily paying attention to the twists and turns of what's happening in Congress.
That's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Lindsay Wise. Lindsay, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And finally, traditionally, business schools focus on teaching students hard skills like management, finance, and negotiation. But in recent years, schools have been offering MBA courses that focus on soft skills like emotional intelligence for inside and outside the office. Our careers reporter Lindsay Ellis has been talking to students taking Harvard Business School's course on leadership and happiness.
There was one student who had two long-term relationships and because he was prioritizing his career. So kind of chasing success in the workplace, you know, he felt like led to the demise of these two romantic relationships. And so he was really seeking work-life balance in pursuing this class.
Lindsay says the 180 spots in the course quickly fill up.
It's become so crucial for managers to really think about their employees and their team's happiness. People are resigning, as we've reported, in record numbers, and understanding, you know, what someone needs to succeed and feel connected and feel happy has grown in importance for managers.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.